Let us now talk to our first guest. I have been looking forward to this for quite a long time. Keith Age joins us right now. Keith, you may know as the legendary rock and roll ghost hunter. You've seen him on Spook TV on the Sci-Fi Channel. He's coming to town on June the 29th and 30th. It's part of the Para Tour. How are you? It's nice to talk to you, Keith.
Hey, how's it going?
We're thrilled that you're here. We really are. Keith, do me a favor. I'm sure you've heard this debate 1,000 times in your life. For people who don't believe in ghosts, what do you say to those people? Are you 100% sure that there are ghosts out there?
Well, no, not really, because I don't use the word ghost. I use the word anomaly, because we really don't know what this stuff is.
What's the difference? What's an anomaly as opposed to a ghost?
Well, the word ghost was a word that was made up in the 1600s to scare children to go to bed at night. And so that's the only thing we really have to equate it to. And so it's been passed down through generation to generation.
But if you had the nickname the legendary rock and roll anomaly hunter, it doesn't have the same kind of impact, does it?
This is true. I've made 10 movies for the Sci-Fi Channel. I'm not using that term.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's just we really don't know what it is. And I will be honest, I do not do the hunting metaphysically. I do it totally non-metaphysical because I got a psychic bone in my body. And when things have been thrown at my head, if I was psychic, I would have ducked.
have you been scared, Keith? Have you been in situations where supposedly there are ghosts or anomalies, as you call them, where you've thought to yourself, all right, I've been doing this a while, but this is kind of creepy?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm an old musician from the 70s, so I don't have enough brain cells to be scared. But no, I've never actually been scared. Usually my first reaction is, wow, that's cool. Let's see if we can figure out what this is. And usually you can, because it's only about 1% out there where it's actually paranormal, where you can't figure it out.
But let's look at that 1% for just a little bit. What have you seen in the years that you've been doing this? What have you seen, Keith, that falls into that 1% that you say, all right, I explained that one, I can't explain this one?
Well, I tell you what I haven't seen is I haven't seen Uncle Bob the Ghost come up and shake my hand yet, which I'm still waiting for, or the devil tap dancing on the table, or any other demons. And I've been doing this for about 35 years now. But when you get up here and you see these anomalies, when like these shadow images just walk right up to you and walk through you and the temperature changes, and then you take the real scientists with you, like the meteorologists, and you bring them to different places and these things happen. And you say, okay. They're going, what was that? I'm going, you tell me. You're the scientist. Because that's the whole thing. Some of the things we've captured on film, when we just shot the Children of the Grave, too, and we were in Bangs, Ohio at an old asylum, and what I caught on the FLIR, the scientists at FLIR, they can't explain it. They're like, we have no idea what this is.
And that doesn't scare you? Like just hearing that, I get a little bit of a tingle going, scientists can't explain it. Something's up.
Well, no, I'm more worried about who is on the other side of a door, not what.
Yeah.
Except for, like, when we were filming the first Children of the Grave, and we were out in Oklahoma at an abandoned school out in the middle of the wilderness, and it was getting dark, and we were walking through it, just me and a couple other people, and as we walked through in this abandoned school, I stepped on what I thought was a vine, and all I heard was a growl. And I was like, okay, that's not real good. The guy behind me, I said, dude, I really hope that's your belly growling. And he's like, no, I was hoping it was yours. And I said, let's back on out of here. So as we started backing out, I'm dropping the thermal camera down, trying to see what's growling at me or whatever. And I stepped on it again, heard the growl again. We got outside, and the next morning, as I'm going through the daily from what we shot the night before, here's this thermal image, and you can see me dropping the camera down. You see the floor, you see my feet, you see my legs, and then directly behind me, there's this image that's just weird looking. I had to flip it around to finally figure out what it is. A mountain lion. I stepped on his tail twice.
Wow.
So, I'm more worried about,
mountain lions.
What's real, yeah. I'm worried about what's real on the other side of the wall or the door.
you know, the legend that we all hear over and over and over again when it applies to ghosts, or again, as you call them, anomalies, is it's spirits that for some reason are not satisfied with the way that they left this earth. You've heard that kind of thing before, that the reason that so many of these ghosts supposedly exist is they have unfinished business they need to attend to.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, and there is some real theory to that, some credibility, because when you do get this 1% out there and it's really interacting with you, you're like going, why is this happening? How is this happening? And, of course, you know, a lot of people like to put, you know, one and one together makes two, and a lot of assumption out there. And, you know, this person died in this house, and they died a violent death, you know, early on in life. And, you know, so you start putting all that together, and, you know, you can assume that there's a theory. And there's a lot of it out there. You know, we've been trying to figure this out since caveman days. You know, and if you go look on cave paintings, there's pictures of what they think are, quote, ghosts. You know, disembodied spirits of, you know, people they show in a painting of where a woolly mammoth stepped on this one caveman, and then down the line of the cave, there's that same caveman, you know, sitting at the fire. So, you know, all this goes back to a lot of, you know, what we consider going bump in the night and fear of the dark.
Keith Age is a ghost hunter, although he doesn't like the phrase ghosts. He's an anomaly hunter. I will go with. He's the host over there on Spook TV on the Sci-Fi channel. He's coming to town June the 29th and the 30th. It's all part of his para tour. We'll discuss that in just a little bit. If you have any questions or comments, you know how to reach us, 312-981-7200 on the phones, 24/7/20 by way of text. More after this. It's WGN. Back to Ghost Talk with Keith Age, renowned ghost hunter, the legendary rock and roll ghost hunter. You can watch him on Spooked TV over on the Sci-Fi channel. He is coming to Chicago on June 29th and 30th. It's all part of his para tour. Where does the para tour take you, Keith? Is it all over the country?
Oh, yeah, pretty much right now. Between that and doing different conferences and conventions. But like I said, when I get to go up to Illinois, I'm actually going to one of my favorite places to go to.
Well, this is a house, and speaking of some renown, the Roth House is pretty commonly known. I guess for most people, it would be best known as the first documented case of spiritual possession in the United States. What do you know about this place, the Roth House?
Well, the Roth home, we actually filmed there for Sci-Fi Channel for our show, The Possessed, and got some really interesting stuff out of it, because originally we were going to film it to where it was a segment in Children of the Grave, which was the movie before The Possessed. And once we got there and got to meet the owner and really getting into the story and getting a tour of the house and everything, and we were actually capturing EVPs while we were standing there just talking. And
wait, define EVP. For people who don't know, myself included, an EVP is a what?
It's an electronic voice phenomena. There's those words again, like anomaly, you know, phenomena.
and when you hear this, what exactly are you hearing? How does that manifest itself?
Well, what is usually happening is when you are recording something, like you and I talking,
yeah,
and when you play back that recording, all of a sudden, somewhere behind it, there is another voice talking or saying things, and it's usually in a different frequency, a different hertz frequency, and that's where you get the interesting stuff.
Is it like, did you ever see the movie The Mothman Prophecy with Richard Gere? Is it like that?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, except for, you know, people have said that they've gotten EVPs over the phone and stuff like that. I've never captured one, but it's in that general area, yeah.
And when you get these, can you make out, Keith, what they're saying? Are you able to slow it down enough to where you can decipher what the words are?
Well, a lot of times you can, and 90% what's called a Class A EVP is you can just automatically hear it when you're playing it back. You don't have to do anything to it. You can tell exactly what it says. But I'll be honest, there's a lot of them out there that when they listen to things and it goes, they say, the devil's coming, you know, and I'm already going, really? It's kind of more like, you know, Peppermint Patty to me.
See, here's what I like about you is that you yourself are skeptical. A lot of people who do what you do are just the opposite. They go, oh, yeah, there's ghosts everywhere. You go outside your door, there's going to be a ghost there. But you take the opposite approach for some reason, huh?
Well, I mean, not everything is haunted. And you know, this is a field of a lot of wishing and hoping and wanting it to be. And, you know, again, not everything is haunted. It's just a lot of people expect it to be. And, you know, with use the TV as a new medium, especially, you know, in the last 10 years, it's exploded. But if you actually go back and look from the start of spiritualism, you know, every 10 or 15 years, it hits. It just, this is the biggest hit it's ever had and the longest hit it's ever had.
If you wouldn't mind, let's go back to the Roth House for just a little bit. That's one of the places you'll be visiting on the tour. What exactly went on there so many years ago? What took place? This is the 1800s, right? The mid-1800s?
This is the mid-1800s to the late-1800s, right? There's actually two homes in Waseca, Illinois, and this is called the Waseca Wonder. And one young lady on the other side of the town, she got up here one day and she started having visions of another family. And she looked at her family she lived with and said, "Who are you?" And she's like, "I need to go to my house." Well, she ended up going to the Roth house. Well, whereas 13 years earlier, Mary Roth had died from having strange, peculiar illnesses. They took her to an insane asylum, tried to have her cured and everything else, and she died as a teenager. So like I said, 13 years later, now here comes another young lady from across the town who did not know the family, but she knew intimate details of the family. She recognized people and of the family who she'd never seen before. She could read letters and things of that nature, and this was all documented by an actual doctor that was looking after her. And after several months, she woke up one morning and she was herself again. She went back home. And she had several other bouts where Mary Roth came back to visit her in her later years, especially when she was having difficulty like childbirth and stuff like that. Mary Roth supposedly took over. So, yeah, this was one of the classic earlier documented possession cases.
All right. First of all, yikes. That's really, really spooky. Second of all, how can you explain that? There's no way to explain that, is there?
There isn't. And that's just like, you know, when we're talking about psychics, people have called me anti-psychic, and I'm not anti-psychic. It's just, how do you quantify a feeling? You can't. And, you know, when you go in here, what we were capturing on film was as we're actually had a psychic upstairs, and he's a real good friend of mine, Rick Hayes. He's upstairs saying things. You know, there's this documented case on this. He didn't know where he was going to. We had him meet us 50 miles out of town, and we kind of shipped him in blindfolded. So here's basically this journal that has all the information in it. We have it. He doesn't know anything about it. He doesn't know the names of all the family or the doctors or anything else, and he's saying things that are happening. And as we're filming this, me and the owner of the house are standing actually behind the cameras, and the door right behind us is, we got into a subject that was a little difficult for whoever was in there. The doors and stuff in this place just start slamming. And it was just really cool.
Cool would not have been the word I would have used. I can't say the word that I would have used, but I can understand we're cool. I guess kind of cool. Wow. All right. We've got a lot more to discuss with Keith Age. Keith is a ghost hunter, the host of Spooked TV, which you can watch there on the Sci-Fi Channel. He's coming to town June the 29th and 30th. It's all part of his Para Tour. It is the house we were just talking about, the Roth House, and we'll give you more details in a little while. Stick around. This is WGN. My guest is Keith Age, ghost hunter extraordinaire, host of Spooked TV over on the Sci-Fi Channel, coming to town June 29th and 30th. It's all part of his Para Tour, where he's all over the country finding strange anomalies, as he likes to call them. I'm going to start calling them that as well. Is that okay with you, Keith? You don't mind, do you?
No, don't mind at all.
I like that. Anomaly sounds good to me. Is there a part of the country, Keith, that seems to have, for some reason, some sort of edge on the rest of the country, that there just seems to be more strange activity?
Well, no, not really. You hear more about it from the older places in the country. It's like here in Louisville, where I live, in Louisville, Kentucky, you go downtown to what's called Old Louisville, and that's where a lot of the ghost stories are from, because it's all older. You know, it's built back in the early 1800s.
You know, I spend a lot of time in Maine. My wife and I for years have gone to Maine, and you know, you go around the burial grounds, the cemeteries there, and it's not uncommon to find headstones from the 1800s. And I always say to myself, this is why Stephen King's stories fit so well into Maine. It just kind of has that atmosphere, you know?
Oh, yeah, just creepy at times.
Yeah.
With all the fog coming in and everything else.
Yeah.
You know, it's just great atmosphere.
It adds nicely.
It's like being up in Salem, you know. There's, you know, there's some of the oldest headstones in the country, you know, back in the 1500s and 1600s.
Yep.
You know, it's just great atmosphere.
Yep. Site of the Salem witch hunts. And also, there's something weird about, I don't know, just the way the ocean is situated in that part of the country. I don't know. Everything just adds up. It's a great place to be scared. It really is. What about in and around Chicago? When you've been here, what have been some of your favorite places?
Well, like, there's been several theaters there that burnt down.
The Biograph?
The Biograph, J.J. Holmes, the Murder House, places like that, I love them. The Phoenix Theater, I haven't got to go to it, but I really want to. There's a lot of places all around. You know, I've hit all, when we filmed, we've done a lot of filming, and we did film in downtown Chicago, but I got stuck down at 95th and Hamilton. That was fun.
Why did you get stuck there? What happened?
Well, I was trying to catch a bus back to Louisville, and they dropped me off at the wrong bus station. So while we were filming, so it was just a long story, trust me.
Keith, you are the star of Spook TV on the Sci-Fi Channel. They shouldn't be transporting you by bus. You should get your own jet or something. What happened?
Well, this was back before it hit big.
Oh, all right.
Sci-Fi Channel. So, when you're traveling with two British gentlemen who really, we're not familiar with that part of the country, and they went on to go to drive back to Iowa, where the next shoot was, and I had to catch a bus to go back to Louisville to catch a plane. It was just a long story.
Oh no!
Yeah, when they dropped me off, you know, and you go inside the bus terminal, and they go, "Sorry, doors are locked with 6-inch plate glass. Nah, you can't come in here." You know, fun.
Keith, we have a story here that I'm sure you're aware of, the story of Resurrection Mary. It's legendary here. You know that story a little bit, don't you?
Every town has a Resurrection Mary.
I was just going to say, as much as we like to call that our own, it goes out all over the place, right? Not only in the country, in the world, I bet.
Oh, yeah. And it's cool. I mean, Resurrection Mary is, you know, Illinois' own. It really is. And because that's where the story basically originated from.
And are the variations that you hear in other places kind of similar? It's somebody driving down a kind of a desolate road, and they pick up a hitchhiker, and they say, "You got to take me to this house." And then they look over, and the girl's gone, and it turns out she lived there years ago but had been killed in a car accident or something. It's always that kind of story, right?
Right. It's basically the same thing. We have one here where kids go down, you know, it's an old rural road. It still hasn't been built up much in, you know, 60 years, but a lot of kids did die on this road because they would drag race back there in the 30s through the 50s. Over 30 kids died there, and that's because you got this real great straightaway coming down a hill, and then at the end of it goes into a real quick S-curve, and a lot of kids died down there. So, you know, there's a tale of two kids that were going to their senior prom, and they died there, which, you know, there's a nugget of truth in there again, you know.
In ghost lore, is it kids who die tragically that are more apt to come back as apparitions, or is it older people? Who usually comes back as ghosts, if they exist?
Well, what's a lot that's reported, and people really don't take this into effect, but this is why we did the film Children of the Grave. There's a lot of ghost stories about children, and, you know, most people like to hear the more sensational stuff, but you know, there's a lot of schools that burnt down, especially back in the 30s and 40s, you know, because there wasn't the laws there that protect them like there are now.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's a lot of tales about that, especially around Ohio, Indiana, Illinois. And I imagine if you go look in other states, there are. But while we were filming for Children of the Grave, that's when we came upon this great story of the orphan trains. And basically, you know, turn of the century in the 1800s, 1900s, children were basically shanghaied off the streets of New York, you know, because they ran around so much. You
yeah.
know, they didn't stay home, and the engineers would just pick them up, put them on trains, and take them on out to the country and sell them to orphanages and stuff. And these were just slave labor, and, you know, because farmers and everybody else, they'd, you know, they'd hire these kids or basically, you know, buy these children. And that's why we were filming Children of the Grave. Like I said, we found the orphan trains, started hearing the stories. And this was like a dirty secret all across America. And, like, we went to Indiana at the third largest federal cemetery in the country. And there's a spot there that's no bigger than 50 by 60 feet where there's 699 children that are buried there with no names.
Oh.
You know, and these were orphans and just indigent children. You know, and now they do have a headstone, and they've tried to put names to all they can. But, you know, and that's one of the really cool things about, quote, ghost hunting is the history and learning different things.
Of course.
You know, you can't take things for, you know, granted what you see or what you hear or what you think you do. You know, you got to find solid proof.
Are you familiar at all? I grew up in the southwest suburbs here of Chicago, as did Ted, who does traffic for us. And there's a cemetery there that's fairly well known called Bachelor's Grove. Do you know a little something about that?
Oh, yeah. Bachelor's Grove has got one of the best photographs of what looks like a woman sitting there with no feet, you know, in the cemetery.
Mm.
And, you know, who she wasn't there when they took the shot.
Wow. When I was a kid, I will never forget this day. A friend of mine's brother, who was old enough to drive, I was in sixth grade and his brother was a little bit older, told us the story about he and some friends who were driving through there. And there was a house that they saw with kind of a bluish whitish glow. And they parked their car and they walked towards the house. And the closer they got to the house, after walking and walking and walking, the farther the house got away. And it kept, that story, that kid's story, kept me up for weeks just thinking about the idea of that. And then years later, now keep in mind, I was a kid. This was in the early 70s. On the internet, I find out that that's a story that is commonly told about that area, Bachelor's Grove, that there's a house, a phantom house, that no matter what you do to try to get close to the house, you can't. It keeps getting further away.
Yeah. I take good drugs.
Is that what that is? That's all that is?
His brother.
But, it, you know, now over at Bachelor's Grove, people are so savvy, like the cops are so savvy, you can't even get anywhere near that at night, especially on Halloween. We used to drive through there on Halloween and stuff, and you can't even get near it anymore on Halloween. It's so famous.
Oh, yeah. And part of the reason for that is because you've got some kids that will do it. Oh, great. I'm out here at this famous place and let's tear something up.
Yeah. Well, it used to be when I was a kid, there were plenty of headstones still around, many of them defaced and knocked over, but you could still find them. But now I know from people who live in the area, they go, people have just stolen all that stuff because, you know, to own a part of Bachelor's Grove, that's a pretty high mark for you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, because you walk down the road, there's Resurrection Mary and there's more stories. And as you go a little bit further out, you know, it just dominoes and spreads out and people want to go check these places out.
Are other cultures as fascinated with ghosts as we are here in the United States?
Some are. And, you know, you're talking about our different areas, especially like up north and stuff like that, are they more haunted? And you can actually blame England for a lot of that. You know, when you think England, that's, you hear tons of ghost stories. Well,
sure.
England is several thousand years older than America. You know, and where did everybody come from originally? England.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's why a lot of that starts there. But England's great. I went to Japan. Japan, no, you don't talk about spirit. That is a no-no.
Well, you know what's funny is I heard a story about when Disney opened up an amusement park in Asia. You know, they were so proud of their Haunted Mansion, which was a huge hit here in California and in Florida. And at their Disneyland, nobody wanted anything to do with the Haunted Mansion because of ghosts. That's bad luck.
Right. It's bad. I think the word is mungo, something like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they had to have priests and stuff come in and bless it before they could open it.
Wow. I've got Keith Age. He's my guest. He is a ghost hunter. He's the host of Spook TV over on the Sci-Fi Channel. coming to town June 29th and 30th. It's part of his Para Tour. There's actually details on our Facebook page, The Bill Left Show. I've got some great text to read to you, Keith. People have texted in some questions. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 or the text line, it's 24-720. We'll come back with your questions next. It's WGN. It is Bill Left with you on WGN, along with Keith Age, ghost hunter extraordinaire, host of Spooked TV, which you can watch on the Sci-Fi Channel. For how long, Keith? How long were you the host of? Have you been the host of Spooked TV?
We started filming Spooked: The Ghost of Waverly Hills in 2005, and then we've made basically 10 movies together, me and the Booth Brothers, since then. So they've all been on Sci-Fi Channel and Killer Channel now.
Just the names, as I read the name. Well, Children of the Grave. You hear Children of the Grave, and you sit up a little straighter, don't you? That's going to get some attention.
Oh, yeah. Well, take a guess what the original working title was on that thing.
I don't know. What was it?
Creepy Kids.
Creepy Kids. but that's something we can all relate to. If you know a kid, you know a creepy kid. There's no way around that. Sort of music did you said you were a musician back in the 70s. What'd you do?
Oh, I still play rock and roll, a little bit of everything else. That's how I got involved in ghost hunting back then. I was 16, just got off the road, and came home, met this girl, and she never would take me to meet mom and dad. And I kind of figured it's because of the rock and roll look back then. And,
sure.
You know, and come to find out, I got to go over there one night, and they explained it's because they had a ghost in the house, and it didn't like her boyfriends. And I was like, yeah, right, sure. Sure you do. And so I kept messing with this thing all night long, saying, you know, prove to me, show me you're here, do something. And at the end of the night when I went to kiss her goodbye, standing in the living room, I had almost got to touching her, and next thing I know, I just felt this amazing pressure in my left arm, like somebody had gotten a hold of me. And I thought, oh, great, Dad's got a hold of me, you know. And I'm turning around looking, and next thing I know, I'm flying through the front door, through the screen door, and I landed about 6 feet out in the front yard. And I was just laying there kind of going, my fingers are working, toes are working, nothing really broke, but I had the air knocked out of me, and I just went, that was so effing cool, you know?
And, now, you say, though, but you're not much of a believer. An incident like that would turn me into a believer very, very quickly.
Yeah, but back then there was nobody to talk to about this stuff. You said if you were out hunting ghosts back then, you had the guys in little white coats with the big net running behind you.
Sure, of course. What do you think that was? I mean, I know a lot of years have passed. I'm sure you've thought about it more than once. What was that?
Well, again, this goes back to what we were talking about earlier. We had found out that the house that this happened in was the gentleman who built the subdivision. This was the first house he built. He built it for him and his wife. She ended up dying of cancer in the house. Mm. And then once he got the neighborhood built, he blew his brains out in the house. Mm. And so, you know, it's kind of the assumption part of it that this is probably who it was.
Boy, that's spooky. That is really, really spooky. On a night like that where you're picked up and you're thrown across a room, are you still sleep that night? Is that a night where you can go to sleep or not?
Oh, yeah. A couple of years ago, we were doing an investigation at an old abandoned school, and I got thrown across the room in the basement of this place, and I landed in a pile of busted glass. And earlier that evening, I'd broken my shoulder, my collarbone, two ribs, and my right forearm. And when I fell down the stairs, I wasn't pushed. I fell down the stairs.
Yeah.
And I got thrown across the room. And at that point, I was like, okay, I've had enough. Let's go back to Louisville.
Man.
Take me to the hospital first, though. Let me get patched up. But, yeah. So like I said, man, you know, I don't have enough brain cells to get scared. You know?
There's a lot of people that want to talk to you, Keith, with similar stories. Pat is on the line. Pat, thank you so much for hanging on. You're on with Keith Age from Spooked TV over on the Sci-Fi Channel. Go ahead, Pat.
Hi. I read a book a few years ago by a local author, actually, about the Bath School Massacre. Have you ever heard of that?
I've heard of it. I just haven't done any research on it, yeah.
What happened there in Bath, Michigan?
Oh, there was a disgruntled school superintendent who spent years putting together a sort of a nail bomb that he put inside the whole lower school, like the basement, we'd call the boiler room.
Sure.
And he blew the whole place up with kids and teachers in it.
Wow.
It was horrible. Just a horrible event. It's a real good book. It's by a local author, Arnie Bernstein, who teaches over at Columbia. I found it fascinating.
And then was there any aftermath once this guy did this? Was there repercussions years later?
In what way? What do you mean?
Any sort of ghostly activity?
What I'm asking you.
Oh, if we knew of any. Have you heard of any?
I don't know.
Keith, do you know of anything like that?
No, like I said, you know, I've heard of the story, and that is a true thing that did happen, but I haven't done any research on it.
Well, I think that would be a great subject for you because it's a definitely true story. He killed himself the same way with the same kind of bombs. He left his dead wife back at the farmhouse where he lived, and yet he had been the model citizen all along. It's a fascinating story.
How spooky. I'm gonna do some research, Pat, because I want to know more about that. That's really scary.
Well, the book is a local author. It should be easily available. It's The Bath Massacre by Arnie Bernstein.
By Arnie Bernstein. I will find that book.
Yeah, he's from Columbia College.
Fantastic. All right, well, I'll find out. We'll look into that. Pat, thank you
great.
So much. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, you
Take
too.
Take care. Keith, do you have a little bit more time? Are you okay to stay for a little bit more?
Sure, whatever you want.
There's more people who want to talk to you. I got a bunch of text questions and some phone calls. My guest, if you're just joining us, is Keith Age, Ghost Hunter. You know him from his work over on Spook TV at the Sci-Fi Channel. Coming to town June the 29th and 30th. It's part of his Para Tour. You can find more information on our Facebook page, The Bill Left Show. We'll pick this up. Call us or text us if you have a story or question for Keith. We'll be right back. It's WGN. Thank you, David. We are talking about ghosts and ghost hunting with Keith Age, Ghost Hunter, Anomaly Hunter, host of Spook TV and the Sci-Fi Channel. All right, there are many people, Keith, that want to chime in on this with some stories for you. Some you can explain, some you can't explain. We're going to start out with Josh. He's in Indiana. Hey, Josh, how are you?
All right, how are you?
Good. You're on with Keith Age. What happened, Josh? What do you know?
Actually, I was calling seeing if Keith is familiar with Belle Gunness.
With what is it here? I'm sorry.
With Belle Gunness.
Belle Gunness. Again, I know the story, but have never done any research on it.
What is that story, Josh? I don't know what that is.
Well, Belle Gunness was actually the nation's first major female serial killer. What she would do is she would put personal ads in newspapers telling men, I've got this big farm, sell everything you own, come live with me, and we'll run this farm. And when they showed up with their cash, they disappeared, and the money ended up in her bank account.
Wow. About what year was this? What time frame?
This was the late 1800s, early 1900s. The house, actually, it was pretty clever the way she did it. She hired a female farmhand, killed her, cut her head off, and put her and her kids in the basement and set the house on fire, and she hightailed it out of here. But all the police and everything found the female body in the basement and assumed it was her. So she pretty much got away with it.
Wow.
But we've actually done a couple investigations because there's a family that there's a new house that's built on the old foundation. It's on the same exact spot.
Yeah.
And there's a family that lives there. And their kids have seen things. The mom has heard and seen things. We actually, I don't know if Keith saw the Bio Channel series, the pilot for The Ghost Speaks.
Right. Yeah, it was what, 33 men, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. But one of our members was actually featured on that show, and the EVPs that they used were EVPs from our investigation.
Cool. What group are you with?
Midwest Paranormal.
You know of them? You've heard of them, Keith?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're not that far away from Louisville.
I actually used to be a member of the Indiana Ghost Trackers, and I believe you know Mike McDowell.
Oh, yeah. I know Mike very well. Good friend.
Yeah.
So ghost hunters tend to, Keith, may I ask, ghost hunters tend to get along. The rivalry you might think would be there, does that exist or not?
Oh, yeah.
There is
this
one.
This is probably one of the biggest... No, that that's my place. You can't go in there. You know, everybody's kind of jostling for it.
They're possessive about their possessions.
Yeah.
Right?
Pretty much. And they're demons. Yep.
Yeah. So Josh, when you're, I'm sorry, Rick, when you're on site, this is a pretty scary place to be, huh?
It's not too bad. You feel a little heavy just knowing the history of the place. I don't know. There's a creepy feeling about it, especially in the dark, you know, at night. It's just, I don't know. It's just knowing the history is knowing.
Oh, my gosh. I can only imagine. Well,
I believe a lot of people believe that there's still bodies buried out there that they missed, but never know unless someone can
dig them up,
you know. Well, or get the ground-penetrating radar that they do, but no one here has the money to do it, so.
Yeah.
Boy, that is scary.
You also got to remember back then, you know, it was nothing for someone to die, you know, whether it's, you know, natural causes or they got murdered and somebody to bury them in the backyard.
Sure.
Even into the early 1900s, that was still taking place.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Our last investigation, we actually had a psychic medium along with us, too, and, a lot of things that he said he felt afterwards, you know, he didn't say anything during the investigation, but after we reviewed our EVPs and he came along with his log of stuff, and it matched up perfectly. So, I mean, he was right on.
Very really, Josh, extremely chilling. I appreciate the call. Have a great weekend.
No problem. You too.
Take care.
Yep. Thank you, buddy.
So would you recommend, Keith, and I'm going to get to another call or two in just a moment, but would you recommend, you know, every once in a while something terrible will happen in a house. Maybe a family member will off another family member or something, and then the house goes up for sale. Would you recommend staying away and not buying a house where something terrible has happened for these reasons?
Well, see, nowadays and in the last 10 years, some states actually have laws that if
disclosure
there's a
laws.
Murder in the house, yeah, disclosure law, that you have to give that up. Well, in that disclosure law, it's also a lot of them have the codicil that if you think it's haunted, you have to report that too. And, you know, that's becoming a big thing. And there's actually several cases in different states right now where people have, you know, gotten homes and everything, and then they can't pay for it or whatever, and they've called in a ghost hunting group because they've got this great idea. Hey, if I can prove it's haunted, I can get out of my lease. and there's actual court cases going on right now about that.
That's crazy. All right, let's talk to Rick really quick. Rick, there you are. How are you? You're on with Keith Age, ghost hunter and host of Spook TV on the Sci-Fi Channel. Go ahead. What's going on, Rick? Uh-oh. Rick? Well, we'll try Rick in a little bit. We'll try Rick in a little bit.
Are you happy you scared him?
It was that last call that scared him, Keith. It wasn't me. It was the last call. Let me take a text or two while we're seeing if we can find Rick. This is from Bill on Facebook. Bill wants to know if you have been to the Excalibur nightclub. Many people say that it is haunted. Do you know anything about the Excalibur nightclub's history?
I've just heard stories about it, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't go into detail, but there's a bunch of places in and around Chicago. I'm sure you're aware of some of them. Excalibur,
look
I don't
know. Look at your bloody history you got in Chicago.
Oh, are you kidding? With the gangsters?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's everywhere. But, you know, we had the Eastland disaster, and all the bodies from the Eastland were brought to a specific place, and people say to this day that that's haunted. You mentioned the gangster history. We've got quite a legacy here in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And, you know, like I said, you know, every town also has, like I said, the theaters that are burnt down, the schools, you know, some of the most haunted places that have been reported are schools, hospitals, and churches. And I think a lot of that for the reason is because of all the emotion and energy that's put out. So, you know, there's so many theories out there, and none of them have been proven to be correct yet. There is nothing that's been proven anything yet in this field, and except for, you know, I'm not an orb person at all, and I've actually had death threats because of how I feel about orbs. I'm very vocal and very public about
it. How you feel about what now?
Orbs
uh-huh. Being like what do you mean by orbs?
Well, when you see a lot of pictures that are these round falls, and people go, those are energy spirits, and that's Uncle Bill, and that's Cousin Vicky, and, you know, and me, I'm going, that's dust, that's lint.
Yeah.
These are natural.
And because of this, people have threatened to kill you because of this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when wow. I do my speeches and stuff, and I get up here, and we get talking about orbs, and I tell people right off the bat, I'm not an orb person. And then usually somebody comes up and says, well, you know what?
Then you must die.
Yeah, and orbs are real. And I tell them, well, you know, you need to get over it. And they go, uh-uh. Somebody always, uh-uh. Mine talked to me. And I tell them, well, you need to up your meds then. But,
wow. All right. Hold on. We're going to get Keith some FBI protection because of his feelings on orbs, and we'll come back and take more of your calls. More calls, more texts in just a little bit. So stick around. It's WGN. Oh, we are talking ghosts and ghost hunting with Keith Age, who knows a little bit of something about this. He is a ghost hunter. He's the host of Spook TV, which you can watch on Sci-Fi Channel. Come on out and see Keith June 29th and 30th. It's all part of his Paratour. All the information is on our Facebook page, The Bill Left Show on Facebook. You get it all right there. Keith, let's get another call or two in and some texts. We're going to start out with Rick, who we lost earlier. We have found him. Rick, there you are. How are you?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Very good. What's up?
Hey, a big fan of Keith's show and all the other ghost hunting shows on TV. But what I really dislike is those recreation ghost shows that recreate what supposedly happened during a haunt.
Yeah.
And it shows entire houses being shaken and people being thrown around the room left and right. But in reality, none of the ghost shows ever shows anything more than maybe a door opening or somebody being scratched.
They're a little manipulative.
Keith could address that.
What do you think, Keith?
Well, there's a word. It's called entertainment.
Yeah. And, we try to avoid that here on the show, but I've heard of it.
And you have to have the wow factor. You know, that's one of the things with us. You know, yes, you know, the Booth Brothers, they are filmmakers, you know, and that's always been said up front. You know, what I capture is what I capture. If I can explain it, I explain it. If we can't explain it, we can't. But they do recreate what supposedly happened with the legend. But they really don't take any extra steps on it. There are some shows out there that are scripted. And, you know, it's all about ratings. You know, if you don't get the ratings, the shows don't stay on. So, you know, I agree with you when some of these shows that just go so far over the top, you go, really? Really? And, you know, that's when some of these people just, I have my own words. Never mind. I'll get another death threat if I keep going.
Just don't mention orbs, for heaven's sakes. So, Rick, that's what it breaks down to is, you know, you're hoping to entertain some people, and, you know, sometimes it's done one way and sometimes another.
Oh, yeah.
True. It's just, well, Keith himself said that he was thrown out of the room.
Yeah. I mean, no, I'll be honest with you. I have been thrown across rooms and stuff like that. And, you know, that's where some of this stuff you go, you can't explain. And that has happened to some people. Luckily, every time it's happened to me, I've been around a bunch of witnesses, you know.
Yeah.
But usually when this stuff happens, it's you're by yourself.
Yep. Very scary. Rick, I appreciate the call. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye. Let me read you some texts, if you wouldn't mind, Keith. This is from 773 area code. Has there ever been a time where Keith wanted to stop a taping or a place that he just refused to go back to because it was so creepy?
Nah.
No?
I've stopped taping when people have gotten upset and it's overwhelmed them, things like that, but no. My usual thing, like I said, fell down the stairs and broke a lot of bones, and I still kept going on.
Did you?
Until about 6 hours later when I got thrown across the room and landed in a pile of busted glass. And that's when I said, okay, I've had enough.
Yeah, we'll call this one a day. 847 says, I saw Keith did a show on Native American hauntings. Can you please tell us more about that? What happened on that show?
Well, that was Soul Catcher, and we actually shot out in the Badlands and several others. We got to meet a lot of different people. Actually, I was talking about it earlier when I said the big mountain lion that almost ate me. That was during that filming, and because we were at an old abandoned Indian school out in Oklahoma, and just some really cool, great stuff we got out of it. People ask me, which one's my favorite film we did, and for years I said Children of the Grave until we shot Soulcatcher.
Really?
And then because, again, we also try to have a message in the movies, and there was so much done, to the American Indian and the plight that they're still in, but we got to go to some of these abandoned schools and just, wow.
Well, the Native American, isn't the Native American culture, Keith, just filled with stories of spirits? It just seems like it is, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. God, yeah. And, again, they were here before we were, So, you have several thousand years of Indian lore. And, to them it is just as real as, eating and breathing.
Yeah.
When
you do this for a living, Keith, do you relax by watching other ghost movies, or do you stay away from anything scary like that?
I don't know. I love a good horror story.
What's the best? Tell me what your favorite one is. If you could watch one right now, what would it be?
Probably King Kong.
Is it King Kong, the original one?
Yeah, the original, 33.
Yeah, with Bruce Cabot?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's a great one. Yeah. Not bad. Good call. Keith Age is a ghost hunter extraordinaire. He's the host of Spook TV over on Sci-Fi Channel. He is coming to town on June 29th and the 30th. It's all part of his Paratour. If you would like more details, then by all means, visit our Facebook page. That's the Bill Left Show on Facebook, and all the information's right there. Keith, it was great finally meeting you. I really appreciate it. I enjoy your work.
Yeah, you got to come out to the Roth House.
I just may do that, because the more you tell me about it, this is right up my alley. I love stuff like this.
Oh, yeah. And thank you for having me on. It's great finally meeting you, too.
Well, you're very, very welcome. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.